In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Yeah, we are part of a global community. So often we gather and worship like this, and it's great. But I think it's also important that we recognize that we are not the only Christians, the only church. We're part of a global community. Jesus' birth surprised the world. For his birth was not expected, even though it was revealed in parts of the Old Testament. Now, the Old Testament is this part of what we have in the Bible. That's the Old Testament, and that's the New Testament. Now, the Old Testament is all about Israel and the people. And in it, there were prophecies about the Messiah coming. Isaiah 7:14 says this, "Therefore, the Lord will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel." Now, this scripture points to the manner in which he will be born, and also to the one of the names given to Christ, given to Jesus. Emmanuel, meaning God with us. This was pointing to both his human birth and his divine nature. And that was written over 700 years before Christ was born. 700 years. Who's the oldest person in our church? Let's have a think. Who's 80 or older? 80 or older. One, two, okay. Anybody 85 or older? Well, I've got two. Anybody older than 87? Anybody older than 88? So 87, is that? Okay. So we now know how old Peter is. Sorry, Peter. Just think though. So 87, that's great. Peter's, that is a blessing. That is a real blessing, Peter. 87. Now we have to go nearly 10 times that to have the distance between this prophecy and Jesus has been born. Wow. And 87 is quite a long number of years. Especially when you're 5 or 8 and you think, wow. And then we've got Micah 5, which is in the Bible too in the Old Testament. "But you, Bethlehem Ephrath, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." We know Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and this scripture tells us in advance the place Jesus would be born. And this prophecy was written by Micah about 800 years before Christ's birth. Now, people in that time when Jesus was born were expecting to have the Messiah, to have somebody come who was going to really save them. And they were going, please, please let him come, please let him come. However, he didn't come as they expected. You see, when somebody famous is born, where are they usually born? Any ideas? Where might they be born if there's somebody famous? Finn? Where do you think? In a hospital, but it's often a private hospital. It's a private hospital. It's not just a general one. It's a private where they lot thousands of pounds, tens of thousands. Where? London, they could be. Yeah, definitely. That's it. But, famous people, when they... Or it could even be a palace. Couldn't it? It could. Well, the Queen, yeah. Obviously, nowadays, it's not so. But in the times when Jesus was, yes, you would expect somebody great was going to be born in a palace. And they were going to have lots of really nice stuff. They were going to have a nice comfy bed, you know, a nice crib. Yet Jesus, where did the reading say he was laid? Did it say? It said somewhere. Finn? In a manger. Yes. Were you going to say that? Thanks. In a manger. Now, a manger is a feeding trough. Not a very attractive place to lay a baby, is it? Really? Today, that would be health and safety. Whoa, you can't do that! Look at the germs! You know, when I was younger, I used to eat mud and all sorts of stuff. You know, look at me now. Yeah. Don't eat worms, no. Oh, thanks. But obviously, but Jesus was born not where people were expecting. They knew a Messiah was coming, but they didn't know how he was going to come. In their minds, they said he's going to come and he's going to be this big, mighty warrior and he's going to kick out the people that are oppressing him. Yet he didn't. Jesus came as a baby. As a baby. How amazing is that? That Jesus, who's God, came and lowered himself to be a child. Vulnerable. Yeah, look at Oliver. Oliver can't do much, can he? Really? He's just got, I don't know, he's got his mouth a crisp. And he just goes, you know. He doesn't say, actually, I'd quite fancy a Big Mac and large fries. And, you know, and actually, you're going to do what, he probably does by going, he does do what we do, what he's telling us to do. But babies don't have anything. They're vulnerable. That's a risky way of coming, isn't it? That our God said, actually, I'm going to come in the most vulnerable way I can. And who knows? Because Herod said, get rid of them. Kill all the babies. Yet God inspired them then to move. So Jesus, in his very birth, offers us a massive surprise. Offers us a massive surprise. Yet, as he grew. He treated people with dignity, with compassion. And as we look through our series, we are going to experience some of those occasions and how Jesus surprised people, those in leadership. We're going to look at stories where Jesus forgives sins, that he prefers people to sit and listen, that he welcomes the attention of the disreputable, that he visits traitors, that he holds children. He challenges people to go the extra mile. As we move through this series, perhaps we might even be surprised by Jesus, by his words, his deeds, ourselves. You see, even today, people are surprised by Jesus. Do you know that? Louise bear witness to that, saying a group of Muslim women met Jesus. How surprising is that? I think that's amazing. Actually, because we limit God. Do you know that? We do. We limit God. But God can do so much more, and it says in Scripture, than we can think or imagine. And actually, some of us have got really crazy imaginations. And especially when we're children, our imagination is like, woof. Unfortunately, as we get older, it shrinks, doesn't it? They don't have brain shrink, no. But the imagination gets limited because we become exposed to stuff. But God is greater than a child's imagination. Amen. We limit God. But here we see Jesus blow it out of the water. Whack! I'm coming as a baby. You weren't going to expect that. As that famous film, Nobody Expects the Spanish Inquisition. We don't know what God is capable of. We think we do, but we don't. Our community, faith community, may feel like it's shrinking, but it's not. There are places in our world where it is growing, it is multiplying. Catalina, thank you for reading it in Spanish. There are churches in Korea, North Korea, China. We need to recognize that God surprises even us who think we got it all sorted. We've been Christian country for years and years and years. There's nothing new. We know it all. Rubbish! We don't know it all. If you do, I disagree. It's great to think that Jesus still surprises. I want this next 7 weeks, I want you to do one thing for me, to open up your minds and your hearts and allow God to surprise you. Because he can and he will. You just have to say, God, I'm open. I'm available. Surprise me. And he will. Whether you're 10, 50, or 87, he will surprise you. Amen?